98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 411 on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo show.
That is not Kyler Murray's height.
No,
he is not 4'11".
No, it's not.
No.
It is a very popular band back in the day. But, yeah, for those of you not used to that, usually I start off the show by yelling straight up 2 o'clock. But obviously that was a couple of hours ago. Welcome in to the Burns and Gambo show post-ASU here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. First, let me welcome in, of course, the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's up, my friend? How are you?
ASU basketball is not up.
No. They're down.
They're not up. They're down. They're out. They are done. And we'll talk about them in just a moment.
That bus has been on for about an hour and a half waiting for them to get on it. They started that bus early.
They did.
That bus driver.
About 5 minutes to go in the first half. It's like, yeah, I think we can start this bad boy right about now, right?
Get the bus started.
Nice and warmed up.
Yes.
We're live.
Cancel that hotel reservation. Book the plane. Tell the pilot we're ready to go.
We're live. Let's tell the folks where we are.
Yeah.
We're live at Marley Sports Grill, Chandler Fashion Center. Best happy hour in Chandler, and it's going on right now. Half price appetizers, $3 domestic drafts, $4 domestic big beer drafts, $4 import drafts, half price on all liquor drinks. That's going on right now here at Marley's. March Madness is going on. Washington, Utah State. They got about 8 minutes left. Duke just tipped off. You want to come down and watch Zion Williamson?
Zion!
Kick some North Dakota State butt. You can come down here. Just come down and hang out on a Friday night. We've got the best happy hour in all Chandler going down.
It's a Friday night. We're on a little bit late because of the ASU basketball game, but still, we had a great crowd out here to watch the Devils, and we invite you to come out and watch some of the other games with us tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, as we usually are here on the Burns and Gambo show, so we look forward to seeing you come down.
Big show in a short amount of time. I want to just let everybody know that we will have the newest son, Jimmer. Jimmer Fredette's going to join us on the program today. So they just landed in Sacramento, and we're going to get Jimmer on the show.
You know what? I've been doing this show with you 8 years now. I never envisioned a day where we'd say, coming up very soon on today's Burns and Gambo show, the newest member of the Suns, Jimmer Fredette.
Yes.
I never thought I'd hear those words come out of my mouth.
Yes, I promised you that I'm not going to ask him to teach you how to Jimmer. But we'll have Jimmer Fredette on.
I don't want to know how to
the
Jimmer.
The BYU legend.
91-74. So stay tuned for that. You're going to want to hear that if you're a Suns fan. 91-74 ASU basketball eliminated today by the Buffalo Bulls in a game that we were joking about the bus and the plane and the hotels, and it, in some ways it's really not a joke at all. This game
was embarrassing.
A blowout.
They were humiliated
almost from the word go. Right?
I mean, Buffalo in the final 5 minutes, just like, okay, we're just gonna like walk the ball up, and you know, and then I mean they would have won by 30. I mean if they had tried, they would have won by 30. I mean, they were killing them. I mean, they were absolutely killing them. I mean, they were up by, what was the most they were up by? 22? 25. They were up by 25, 72-47. They could have won by 30. They only won by 17, and I'm saying only. But, like, in the final 5 minutes, Buffalo was like, you know, clear out the bench, put the subs in, and just walk it up and take the time off the clock because this game was over. I mean, it was literally at halftime, I think ASU was down by 13, and the game was over then. It really was. I mean, there are games that you know were over at halftime. That game was over at halftime. ASU in the first half, Burnsy, Edwards was terrible. He couldn't hit a shot to save his life. Dort wasn't hitting any shots. They were turning the ball over. They were 0-for-9 from three-point range in the first half.
Yeah.
The first three-pointer ASU hit made the score 60-45. There was 13 minutes and 40 seconds left. The first time they hit a three, it was Kamani Lawrence, and it was made it a 15-point game. At halftime, this thing was done. They were humiliated today by Buffalo.
Yeah, it was, like you mentioned, the halftime stats told the whole story. They were outscored 11-2 in second-chance points. Their bench was outscored 17-6. They were 0-for-9 from the three-point line. The offensive rebounds, the second-chance points, were a problem all half long. Dort was 1-for-5, 0-for-3 from the three-point line. Rob Edwards was just awful today for ASU. He just, and Remy Martin, three turnovers in the first half. That sloppy basketball that we said they could not afford to play against Buffalo the way they played against St. John's, because they were never going to get away with it. They started playing it about 10 minutes ago in the first half, and it was just mind-numbing turnover after mind-numbing turnover, and they played it. And when that sloppy brand, Buffalo's just too good, too disciplined, too talented, and they torched the Devils over. Just absolutely. And then never really, when they came out of the tunnel at halftime, kind of hoping for that little push, right? That little spark. Cut it to 10. Cut it to 8. Get some confidence. Get some play. It never happened. It never happened, to open up.
Never
the
made a
half.
Run. Never got
that little push.
I was looking for that too. I mean, and it just, you know, it was a 13-point lead, and then just the lead just started to increase. Instead of going down, cutting it to 10. Now in the second half, they did get it. I believe they got it to 9 at one point. They got it to 9. But outside of that, it was just an increased lead. And even after they got it to 9, I mean, it was all Buffalo. You know what was embarrassing to me? The amount of easy shots that the defense was just so bad. I don't know if these guys were tired. Their legs were tired. They played two nights ago in Ohio. They had to travel to Tulsa. You know, maybe, because they looked like they were just worn out.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that. I'm looking at some of the folks that I follow on Twitter who cover the Devils every single day and reading some of the quotes coming out of Tulsa right now. And Nate Oates, quote, "We knew that they would be tired, and we kind of planned for that regarding for ASU playing on Wednesday night. Thought that tired legs might have affected ASU shooting a little
bit.
Probably. So it looked like Nate Oates kind of winning that game planning for a, hey, look, they're going to wear down. They're going to wear tired.
And they did. They blew them out in the second half. I mean, they just put that game away. And it was amazing. I mean, they just, you know, Buffalo just, they clobbered U of A last year. They clobbered ASU this year. I mean, they just, 17-point win is the third largest ever by a MAC school in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they worked ASU. They just, you know, they just, Harris had 21, Perkins had 21, Massenburg had 18. There wasn't anybody that ASU could stop defensively. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there was a point, and we were talking about this, the most points ASU gave up this year was 94 in the opener, Pac-12 opener against Utah. There was a point where we really thought that Buffalo was going to score 100, and they would have. They would have scored 100.
But they slowed
they
up.
Stopped,
of,
they
out
stopped.
Out of respect.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Nate Oates was hired by Bobby Hurley. Didn't want to embarrass him any further. But this team easily could have scored 100 points in this basketball game if they had wanted to.
So ASU, they get their first tournament win in 10 years. They get their first back-to-back tournament appearances since the Carter/Reagan administration back in the late 70s, early 80s. And now, okay, so we've kind of taken a micromanaged, fine-tuned look at the game itself. Now it's kind of time to kind of step back, hit zoom out, and look at the state of the program. I mean, what are we – and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to divorce our feelings about this game because it was so bad to watch from the state of the program. But given what they've accomplished and what Bobby Hurley now has to sell to recruits, what is the state of ASU basketball moving forward?
You know, I think you just got to sell the fact that, you know, you got to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. You can't sell success in the NCAA tournament. You can't sell Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. You can't sell success. The only thing you could sell is we got there. We got stability in the program, same coach for a number of years. We got good players. I mean, if Dort does come out and goes in the first round, late in the first round, you could sell. We put a guy in the NBA, and even if you don't put him in, if he doesn't come out, I mean, if he stays in or he doesn't get drafted in the first round, you still could say, hey, we put a lot of players overseas in Europe. Guys yep. are making money. We can give you a career playing basketball, even if it's not in the NBA. You sell that, and you sell that you got to the tournament 2 years in a row. You can't sell success in the tournament because you haven't had it.
But I think you can sell progress, too. Not a lot, but a little.
But that is the progress. Right. The NCAA tournament 2 years in a row.
It's winning a game, and I know some people don't, you know, whether the play-in game counts as a game or not. Still, at the end of the day, ASU did something this year that they didn't do last year. They played on a Thursday or a Friday in the NCAA tournament. It's not a lot of progress. It's not maybe as quick as people would like, but at the end of the day, it is still a small step forward and a small step better than what they accomplished last year. And now so Bobby goes into some kid's house and he can say, look, we're getting better. 2 years ago, 4 years ago when I got there, we were this. 2 years ago, we were this.
And look at us now.
Last year, we were this. We're slowly getting there. And you can be the guy to help us get from point D to point E or point E to point F. I mean, I think we would all like the progress to be a little faster than this. But given, I mean, think about this. Think about how irrelevant ASU basketball has been for the better part of our lifetime here.
The entire Herb Sendek era?
Right, well, I mean, yeah.
Rob Evans?
Prior to that, Bob Hurley in 4 years has gone to as many tournaments as Bill Frieder did in all of his years, as Herb Sendek did in all of his years. It's progress. It's not as fast as we'd like. We wish it could be a little quicker. But it's progress nevertheless. I do think...
An upset alert. North Dakota State up 14-7 over Duke.
There's 14 minutes to go in the first half.
Dakota State's up 14-7 over Duke.
Slow down, son. Slow down.
I know. I was teasing. Yeah, listen, that's if they could stop the game right now, North Dakota State would be happy. Yeah, I get the progress. It is. Listen, this is not a negative for ASU. I told you this. There are several ways to look at it. This team's probably very disappointed. The team and the coaches are probably very disappointed. It's not like they matched up against Duke or North Carolina or Tennessee or Michigan State or any power Kansas or any powerhouse team in the NCAA tournament. They played Buffalo, and they got worked. So I'm sure that as a team, there's extreme disappointment. As a program, you see what you said, there's progress, 2 years in a row making the tournament. So there's two ways to look at it. This team right now is going to go head home, and they're going to be disappointed. We didn't accomplish what we wanted to. We didn't make any run in the NCAA tournament. We got knocked out by Buffalo, and we got worked. We weren't even competitive in the game. So, like, it is a disappointment for those players and those coaches what happened right now. But the season as a whole, you look at it and you say, okay, it's progress. You made the tournament 2 years in a row. You might put a kid in the NBA if he comes out. So there are definitely two ways that I look at it.
Speaking of the kid that you can put in the NBA, Lugan Dort, and I'm looking again at quotes from devilsdigest.com on my Twitter feed. Dort said that he has a, quote, big decision coming up regarding whether he will declare for the NBA draft, said it would come soon. He declined to say whether he will test the waters without hiring an agent first. Lugan Dort, now...
He should go back to college.
I totally agree.
He should go back to college.
But will he, though? You know, that's...
I don't know. He's okay. I mean, he's not that good. He's not a good shooter. He makes a lot of, you know, bad decisions on the court. He probably should come back. But, you know, he's got an NBA body. You know, he's got a body that a lot of teams will look at. And listen, there's a lot of players that aren't, you know, that aren't very good that get drafted into the NBA and don't make it. To me, if I'm him, I'm coming back for my, you know, for next year, because I just don't think that he could probably improve his draft status. I'm just trying to see, and I look at this. The only mock draft I look at is NBADraft.net,
mm-hmm.
and they do projections on the kids. He doesn't have him as a first round pick.
No,
he does not have him as a first round. I don't even think he has a kid getting drafted. I'm
he
just looking
have him
right
in the
now.
Second round?
I mean, I'm looking right now. I'll stall for a second here. France, definitely not in the first round. Now I'm looking at the second round projections, and I'm going down here.
If he's not a first
rounder, I don't even see him in the second
round.
If
he's not a first rounder, if someone in that advisory board doesn't project him to be a first rounder, then he should absolutely come back. I don't think he...
He's not a first or second round pick.
Right now
in this mock, the NBADraft.net, which is the only one I look at, they do a decent job. He's not even projected first or second round.
He's a very good defensive player. I think he could defend at the next level. Offensively, his game still needs a lot of maturation, a lot of growth, a lot of evolution. He's got a long way to go in that regard. My best guess is that he'll be back, is that he will dip his toe in the water, and the water will say, you're not ready, go back to school. I think if he
I just texted an NBA executive right now, a high-ranking one. I said, hey, late first for Dort, doubt it.
Really?
Doubt it.
Yeah, then if they get back to him and say, you're not a first-rounder, then he needs to come back.
Yeah, he should come
now,
back.
Now, if they come back, and depending, you know, they got Eddie House's kid coming in. We're going to have Eddie on the show a little bit later.
They only lose two guys. They lose Zylon Cheatham, who's just...
Well, that's a big guy to lose.
Such a terrific player for them. I mean, he was really good. Did a great job. And then they lose. Is it Lake? Is Lake the other kid they lose?
Yeah, Daquan Lake.
Daquan Lake.
Those are the two.
Who was a nice role player for them. Did a good job. But Eddie House's kid is coming in. He's a four-star recruit. So if Dort comes back, I mean, you got Remy. You got Romello White coming back. You'd have Dort coming back. You got Eddie House's kid coming in. You got Rob Edwards back. Oh, he was so bad today, but you have him back. So you've got a veteran team coming back.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, speaking of drafts, there's a new quarterback who's not named Kyler Murray that all the experts are starting to fall in love with. And his rise up the draft board could mean a lot of things for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll try to figure out what it means next on the Burns and Gambo show. Burns and Gambo show. Happy Friday to you. Thanks for hanging out with us. 91-74. ASU loses to Buffalo. Their tournament run, brief as it was, is now over. And we'll get you caught up on some of the scores around the tournament coming up in a little bit. Although Oregon did win. They advanced. They beat Wisconsin.
Made
today.
The conference some money.
Yeah, they did.
A minimum. I think each team gets $750,000 over 6 years because of Oregon's win.
We've got Jimmer Fredette scheduled to come on in the next 8, 9, 10 minutes. As soon as I get into the hotel in Sacramento and get settled, we're going to talk with the newest member of the Phoenix Suns. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see him play.
See what he's got. There's no doubt about it. In the meantime, the NFL draft, and something interesting happened in the last couple days or so. Apparently, Drew Lock, the quarterback out of Missouri, has seen his stock go up. Now, consider the source when I play the soundbite. Okay.
I already know. All you got to say is who that is.
Consider the source, but here's Shirley Casserly on the NFL Network, and this is what he had to say about Locke.
This guy should be in the first round. His issue is going to be, are there going to be four quarterbacks taken in the first round? And what is his rank? I know some teams that have this guy number one.
To which Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network said, whoa, hold on a sec there, Charlie. Say what?
You know some teams, Charlie, that have him number one ahead of Kyler Murray?
That's right, sir.
Charlie! Ouch, Charlie.
I knew it was only a matter of time and you'll start doing that.
That hurts, Charlie.
Yeah. Here's one
Charlie more. Bit my finger.
Here's one more.
This old man is off his rocker. He is literally off his rocker. Drew Lock, the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah,
he knows a team that's got Drew Lock number one. Man, man, this is good. I want to be a salesman and knock on Charlie Casserly's door. I could sell this guy anything.
Just for clarification, he's not saying that Drew Lock is the number one overall pick, saying that he's hearing that people have Lock as the number one quarterback prospect.
On their board, right. Okay, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, and that could mean that they got him number one on the, you know, overall.
Potentially, potentially, but you know, teams like let's say the Cardinals didn't have the number one pick. They might set up their draft board not with Cliff Kingsbury as their coach, obviously, but under a different coach. They might set up their draft board and go, yeah, we like Drew Lock better than we like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, listen, he might end up being a good quarterback, all right? I mean, there's stories out there, Drew Lock's drawing Brett Favre comparisons as well as Jay Cutler. I don't know. I mean, Drew Lock's pro day was good, but everybody's pro day is good. The kid's going to be a first-round quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that. Does he go ahead of Haskins and Murray in the draft?
Well, No, he doesn't do that. But I don't think that's the point necessarily. I don't think he's going to go number one, and I don't think Charlie's even saying he's going to go number one. But if he's accurate And there are some teams out there who view him as the best quarterback prospect from this draft. Okay, let's kind of build our argument off of that.
Okay.
If there are some teams out there who believe that Locke is the best quarterback prospect out there in the draft, I've got to think that if the goal for the Cardinals is to trade out of number one, that doesn't help them very much.
That there's another guy there.
Because,
I'll stay and get him.
Right, because now those quarterback needy teams might go, well, I don't need to give up inventory to move up to
you
number one.
You do what
one.
Buffalo did, the Jets did. I just want to get up to a spot where I'll get one of my guys. I don't got to go to number one.
Exactly.
I don't have to go to number one. I want one of those guys.
Yep.
I want Haskins, Murray, or Locke. I like all three. I'll be happy with any one of them. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense what you just said. You know, I mean, Jordan Palmer, who's got a reputation as a quarterback guru in the NFL draft, he's trained Darnold and Allen and, you know, he's Drew Locke and a lot of these players. You know, he really likes them. You know, he really likes this Locke kid. He's spoken very highly of him. He had a really good throwing session. I'm looking at all the reports from his pro day.
Yep.
Had a really good throwing session. Talked about his personality. The kid's got a personality to go with his game. I mean, I can see guys liking him. I just don't see him. I'd be very surprised if he gets ahead of Haskins and Murray in this draft. I will.
No, you know, and I don't believe that'll happen either. And I do think that, I mean, it's kind of funny because all along I had sort of hoped that there would be lots of great quarterbacks out there and the Cardinals would, you know, have lots of teams bidding to move up. But now that I kind of look at it and think of it, I think Drew Locke's emergence is probably, if trading down is the goal, and I don't know if that still is, but if trading down is the goal, I don't think Drew Locke's ascension is a good thing because I think now getting the quarterback you might want, you don't have to go to number one to get him. You can go to number seven to get him. You probably need to get ahead of teams like the Broncos to get a guy like that, or maybe just ahead of the Giants to get a guy like that. Suddenly, all these quarterbacks emerging as possibilities, you just don't have to go as far up to get him, unless the Cardinals can somehow convince a team, if they still want to trade out of one, you've got to come up to one to get Drew Locke if you want him. And I just can't imagine his stock is going to go that high. I just can't imagine that it will when it's all said and done. So it's interesting. I mean, it's, but man, does this not follow the pattern of what happens every year around the NFL draft?
Sure. These quarterbacks just rise because the teams are desperate and needy, and they, you know, they're looking for a reason to want to take the kid. They're looking for a reason to like him. I mean, they are. You know, they're looking for that. I just, you know, listen, this kid's good. I mean, I watched him play a few times. He was terrible against Alabama. I watched him in that game. He wasn't very good. I think I also watched him when they lost to Georgia. I wasn't that impressed with him. He had some bad games. I mean, he did. He had some bad games. He had some good games. But he also had some really bad games. I mean, overall, I wasn't that impressed with him.
Yeah.
But it matters what he did at the combine and what he does the pro day and, you know, and how he translates to the NFL.
You can add another former Cardinals quarterback who was found a former Cardinals player, I should say, who has found a new home in free agency this offseason.
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon has landed with the Oakland Raiders.
Going to back up Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon, the backup quarterback for the Raiders.
Huh. I don't know what I think about that. I don't. Backup quarterbacks are amazing. I mean, they really are. They
make $3.5 million a year to do nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope you don't have to get into a game.
Just every year, you know, this guy's here and that guy's there. Not very many of them stick very long. I mean, I think isn't Ryan Fitzpatrick pretty much the patron saint of all backup quarterbacks? The guy that all backup quarterbacks aspire to be.
I like Drew Stanton.
Yeah,
I mean, Drew Stanton. I like Drew Stanton. Yeah, because Fitzpatrick has started a lot of games.
He has.
He has started a lot of football games.
I guess the reason I say that is because Ryan Fitzpatrick has made $58 million.
Yeah, because people look at him as a potential starter.
Yep.
So he gets paid as the possibility that you may start. Drew Stanton is 34 years old. He's going to be 35 next month. And he's, you know, this guy's been in this league for a long time. He is the prototypical backup quarterback in this league. He's played in 38 games. He's been in the league since 2008. I mean, he's literally been in the league for 10 years, and he averages like 3 games a year. I mean, that's what he's had. So I like, you know, here's Drew Stanton, 3 games, 3 games, 6 games, 9, 7, 5, 5. I mean, he doesn't play 0, and it kind of has a few zeros in there too.
All right, you want to take a guess
at Drew Stanton's career earnings? I just looked it up.
I'm going to guess, how many years in the league? 10?
Since 2007.
2007.
So 12 seasons. 12 seasons in the league.
$30 million.
You are spot on. 29.
$29 million.
Yeah,
a little bit, average of about three, but a little bit less in the earlier years.
And again, that's
$30 million. That's why I'm backup quarterback.
That's why I'm putting Fitzpatrick on a pedestal, man. I mean, he, in the same amount of time.
Right, but he starts.
He's made twice as much money. He's like in the backup quarterback Hall of Fame for how much money he's made.
I got it. But he's actually been a star.
He has. Yes.
Drew Stanton is just you're the backup. Wherever you go, you're the backup. And he's made $30 million.
ASU's resume says they have been to the NCAA tournament the last two seasons, but will today's blowout loss change the way we perceive this Sun Devil season? We'll talk about that coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Rome was not built in a day.
No, I've been there. I've been there plenty of times. It certainly wasn't built in a day.
And yet it sure feels after today's ASU's loss to Buffalo in the tournament that they burned down a good chunk of it in a day.
Well, you know what? When we go to Rome, and my wife loves Rome, and I have cousins that live in Rome, and there's parts of Rome when you walk in, it's like new, everything's new, and then you turn a corner and everything's hundreds of years old, and it feels like ASU went back a couple hundred years with the way they played today. It's almost like I was walking some of those streets as I'm on my way to the Colosseum or the Vatican or the Castle San Angelo or some of the places we like to visit. Yeah, they took basketball back a few hundred years.
Progress does not always happen as quickly as we would like it to, and it's not always visible. But I think once even the most hardcore ASU fan kind of settles down and gets this 91-74 loss out of their system, they will recognize what went down this year as progress. Maybe not a lot. Maybe not an overwhelming amount, but certainly a step forward, small step forward for ASU basketball, certainly from Bobby Hurley's first day here, and even from this time a year ago to now, there is undeniably progress for ASU basketball.
Think about how close they were to taking a step backwards, though. Think about how close they were to playing in the NIT.
Yes.
They were one of the last teams to get in the NCAA tournament. They were a bubble team. Think about how close they were. One loss. They won six out of their final seven. If they would have lost one of those games, they might have been in the NIT. So they were very, and that would have been a step back. So that's, one game was the difference between, you know, continuing the progress and the momentum, which they've done, or taking a step back and going from an NCAA tournament team to an NIT team.
Yeah. It is too bad, though, because in these moments, and I'll even count the St. John's game in the moment. I mean, they certainly, by no stretch of the imagination, in either of their quote-unquote tournament games this year, did they even come close to playing their best basketball. I mean, they played, what, 80 minutes of basketball
in the tournament,
yeah. And they were good in about 15 minutes of the 80 minutes of basketball they've played so far, right?
Inconsistent team all year long that had a lot of highs and then a lot of lows?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, this team lost to Princeton. They lost to Washington State. They beat Kansas. Like, it was not a consistent basketball team. You had no idea when you went to a game what you were going to get. Yeah, good ASU or bad ASU?
Right.
You had no idea.
No, that's fair. I guess my hope was for a team that was playing seemingly its best basketball at the end of the year. I think we can all agree on that, right?
They won six out of seven before they lost in overtime to Oregon.
To Oregon, which a team that obviously is red hot. They beat Wisconsin today in the tournament.
Yep.
And they played very well. It was disappointing to see them play like they did in these first two games. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the newest member of the Phoenix Suns and still a guy who very much moves the meter in the basketball world, Shimmer Fredette, will join us next on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.